and we are flying at the seaplane base for our Saturday show, as always. And this is the last segment, which means this week is just roared by. Shane, I'm sure it was the same out here at the sea base.
It definitely cruised right by. You know, it's like I stated before, it's the shortest, longest week that we have. And golly, we're already on Saturday already. This is just fantastic.
So thank you again for organizing our event out here that we do every year on Saturday. You always give us a lot of really cool people to talk to. And the last guy on my show for this year is going to be Don Smith.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, hey, Don, this is Don Smith, J-Mon G that we're talking to. Thanks for joining us here today. You know, I was with Don the other day doing an interview, and something he said that to the reporter that just it kind of stuck with me, and I'm going to open with that.
I need to apologize?
No, not at all. You're right on track, and it's flip-flop flyers.
Yeah, I'm not wearing flip-flops today because I was going to be at the main field, but yeah, it's got a whole different atmosphere, doesn't it? I mean, the fireplace at night, you know, the people's talking, there's frequently music in the background, and not a lot of stress when you're out on the lake.
That's right. Hey, Don, give us maybe a purview of what's it like to fly a seaplane?
Oh, it's nice. I live on a lake in southwest Michigan. I can get up in the morning. I keep an office at my hangar, and that's about two-tenths of an hour to fly off to my work. And frequently, I'll show up at work and realize I've been flying for an hour and a half. And then I get to thinking, well, I stopped at Murray Lake, and I went up to Wabasas, and I went over to this lake. It's like, huh.
And next thing you know.
Oh, here comes work.
Yeah, right. Yeah. What kind of aircraft do you have?
I've got a Boss 182. It's a modification of a Cessna 182 that Whip Air does. They put a beautiful IO 580 in it. It's got lots of power, and it helps you break the floats out of the water quickly. And they did some modifications to the wings to give it a little bit more lift. And it's really my second airplane, so I don't need a plane that goes fast. You know, I need a plane to come and go from work.
So I'm gonna make you jealous by repeating something that we talked about on my show on Wednesday afternoon. I was talking over at the Blue Barn with Shondi Tucker and Jimmy, who used to fly his Beaver on floats to Seahawks practice as a Seahawks player.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
And how cool is that? You just talked about flying your float plane to work. We have NFL players that are flying their float planes to work.
Oh, it's nice. It's in the summertime here in the Midwest. It's fantastic.
And you know, that is a small community of people who can do that, who can claim they do that, right? Do you know anybody else who does that?
A few, but they all around the campfire at night here.
Yeah, so, you know, going back to what we were talking about is highlighting volunteers, you know, giving back to them, thanking them so much for their service here. You know, I'll let Don expand on it a little bit, but Don often will give volunteer rides, and it's just it's one of the most generous thing that somebody can do to the folks that they come out here. They get to be a part of this family, as we talked about.
Yeah, my son is actually taking Dustin's friend, the guy you were just talking to. They're getting loaded in a plane right now.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of that kind of stuff goes on out here, right? Not only boat rides, but there are people generous enough to provide seaplane rides.
Absolutely, and it's all on all pretty much to our volunteer force here too. And you know, Don, before the Boss 182, what was that other aircraft?
This is my third seaplane. In 07, I had an Aviat Husky, which is a lot smaller. It's a two-person plane. Unfortunately, you can't like have two adults, full tank of fuel, you know, a week of camping supplies. You really got to pick and choose what you put in that plane when you're flying the little two-seater. And that's really why I got the gentleman's aircraft at 182. But I actually went from a 07 Husky to a 2013 Husky, and then I picked up the Boss 182.
Yeah. So I guess this might be a good place to intervene with one of the difficult things about seaplane. So I have my single and multi-engine C ratings. However, I don't own a seaplane. So the only way that you can get really proficient in seaplane flying is to own a seaplane, because there aren't very many places that will rent you a seaplane.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that you develop the passion, and then now you pretty much have to dedicate yourself to really getting into it, which obviously is what you did.
Yeah, well, in the start of every season, you go out by yourself and get your 3 to 6 takeoff and landings before you invite anybody else. I generally don't even tell anybody I pulled the hangar, the plane out of the hangar. And I get all those takeoff and landings in, and then I start feeling like now it's more like normal. But you know, I always try to get that in. And I don't like going for more than a couple weeks without flying. And both my son and I fly my plane, so it gets used quite a bit.
So tell our listeners how you made that happen. So like we said, you went to a seaplane school. Where did you go?
So actually, when I used to come to Air Adventures, I used to stay in a resort about 40 miles west of here. And it's on a lake, and I looked out my window, and I saw Mark Bakers from AOPA taking off in his caravan. And I said, wow, that's cool. Because I still had a 50-minute drive and go through the parking and everything at the main field, and he's just going to fly right into the base and take the bus to the main field. And I was so jealous. I thought, that's the life.
Is that the caravan that's out here now,
yeah,
Shane?
Yeah, it sure is, yeah. And it's like, wow. And that was like 05 or something like that. And so within a year, I was talking about four or five different people about what works on floats. And it's interesting. I mean, a lot of, I don't know if you know this, but opinions vary quite a bit about what the best plane is.
Well, of course. I mean, that's like anything everywhere. But where did you go to school? Where did you do your rating, your primary rating?
So I got my private pilot. I'm a commercial glider pilot, commercial single, commercial multi. And I did it in small schools in West Michigan.
Yeah.
But I got my seaplane rating down at Jack Brown's over in Winter Haven.
Yep.
It was like a summer a winter vacation. Went down there, brought my bathing suit, put the bathing suit in the back of the car, and sat in class all day, did some flying, went back to my car to get my bathing suit to go swimming. There's alligators on the ramp.
they got some alligators down there. So this is where we get to plug what a cool thing a seaplane rating does. Number one, it fulfills your flight review requirement.
Yeah.
So you can actually, instead of doing a flight review with a CFI, you can go to any of the many seaplane schools and just get your seaplane rating, and it counts.
And it's fun.
And it's fun. And it's something more to do to add to your knowledge base of aviation. I'll tell you what seaplane rating did for me. It really teaches you to observe conditions more than a land plane pilot does. So obviously when you're looking for a place to land a seaplane, you don't have somebody saying, oh, wind's 270 at 5. You know, you have to observe the conditions. That's a big part of learning seaplane.
Yeah, I think about flying over lakes and you're looking at American flags in the backyard. You're looking at the little white wind lines that form on the lake once it gets a certain amount. You're looking for white caps. You're looking to see if somebody else is there on the water. And it's, you're to be honest, you're the pilot in command. Don't do anything stupid.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Well, and unlike an airport where you have staff at an airport to go out and do a regular runway sweep or, you know, to check the condition of the surface that you're going to land on, you don't have that with a seaplane. You are the one that has to go down, make sure that there's no logs, that there's no, I mean, that's all up to you.
Yeah, I know a buddy hit a turtle. That was interesting.
Well, that's sad, yeah. But they're also a little hard to see, right?
So,
Yeah.
So Don, let's tell our listeners, what's the difference? Obviously, you're landing on water versus land, but what does it feel like to land on water versus landing at an airstrip?
So it's kind of interesting because we try to always land into the wind. And unlike an airport, you get to pick your own runway. So you can set it up so you never have a crosswind. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one, no crosswind. And if you're landing into the wind, sometimes after you turn around, you can just open your doors and let the wind take you back to where you're going. I've seen a lot of people that are step taxiing back from Winnebago. And those people could have really just opened the door and just idle taxi back. Because that'll add probably 5 knots, you know, to your travel by just opening your doors and sailing back, which is what we called it, sailing back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, well, that's one of the first things they teach you in seaplane rating. And you don't see it very often. People are in a hurry to get back to the dock, and probably there's beer on tap somewhere.
Yeah, right. So,
you know, just kind of to build off of that a little bit, you know, you talked about being able to fly to work. I mean, how cool is that, right? Tell us the next favorite thing. I mean, you got your seaplane. You know, we talked about the lifestyle that float plane flying can bring you, flip-flop flyers, as you coined.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing about it?
I mean, to be honest, when you go to a Splashin' or come to Air Adventures, you know, you get there, and all of a sudden you see four or five planes along the shore or roll up on the dock here at the Oshkosh Sea Base, and you see your friends. Yeah, I can't stress that enough. I've known these guys for... here over 15 years, And, you know, some of them, you know, I've met other places and even longer. I got to fly with Chuck Marshall from Warbirds.
Oh, yeah.
He's flying an orange beaver out here. And I got to fly with him over at the Otsego Lake in northern Michigan earlier this year. And it's just like part of the family. It's me coming.
Well, you have a great world to be part of out here, the sea base. And I can't stress enough to people who come to Oshkosh. We just, Ryan, earlier in the segment, he said that, you know, he didn't know about Seaplane Base when he first came to Oshkosh. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people over there on the main grounds that don't know this even exists. So getting the word out is tough.
Yeah, it's the jewel of Air Venture.
It's the jewel of Air Venture.
That's right. You know, and coined on Tom Poperezzi years ago, said it was EAA's best kept secret. And it really is. And, you know, we're hoping to invite more people out here. Please come out and visit.
Yeah.
I promise you will be hooked on the first time.
And by the way, may he rest in peace.
Yes, sir.
Tom Poperezzi. Jaymont G., that wraps it up for On the Fly for this year. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for listening and supporting EA Radio. Shane, thank you for what you do out here for this great community.
Of course.
And Don, you know, you, Jimmy Graham, and you know, and Mark Baker in that special club you're in, thanks for joining us today on EA Radio. We'll see you next year.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
2023.
Jaymont G on the fly, signing off from the Seaplane Base. Enjoy the rest of Air Venture today and tomorrow, and we'll see you next year. You're listening to EA Radio.